We've been looking at the tabernacle, 50 chapters in the Bible about the tabernacle. This is the largest type and picture of the Lord Jesus and salvation in your Bible. God only spent 2 chapters on creation, detailing it. This happened on the first day. This happened on the second day. This happened on the third. God spends 50 chapters in your Bible talking about this tabernacle. And why does God have it? Exodus 25, look at verse number 8. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. So God wants this tabernacle for one purpose, because he wants to dwell with his people. So how does God do this? There's a 150-foot curtain and a 75-foot curtain that's 7.5 feet tall. It goes all the way around. It's called the courtyard. It's got one gate. We knew that that was a picture of Jesus. There's 3 tribes encamped. That is the east. That is the north, the south, and the west. The camp of Dan was to the north, was Dan, Asher, Naphtali. The camp of Judah was Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. The camp of Reuben was Reuben, Simon, and Gad in the south. And in the west was the camp of Ephraim, which had the 3 tribes, Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin. So God said, lay it out this way. Numbers chapter 2, God says, this is how I want you to camp out. I know I covered this with you a little bit last week, but just trying to break it in. So when you see how God says, this is how I want you to camp, and you'll see a pillar of cloud by day, because it's hot in the Middle East. And what did the cloud do? It protected them from the sun. Our soldiers say that are over there in Iraq, it gets over to be 140 degrees. That's hot. Okay, in Texas, when it was 116 degrees, I looked at one of the Spanish guys in our church. I said, hey, I said, you're from around here. I said, is 116 degrees hot? He said, oh, yeah. He said, when it get past 110, he said, we don't even count it anymore. I said, man, it does. It gets so hot, it doesn't even matter. I've never been in 140 degree temperature. That's what it is over there in the Middle East. That's the temperature that you're dealing with. So here, God lays this out, and God says, you're going to have a pillar of cloud that he protected his people by day. And then it gets real cold in the desert at night. You can die of hypothermia at night, because there's no clouds to keep the heat in, right? So the temperature drops in the desert. It's very dangerous. Desert survival is pretty challenging. So what did God do over the tabernacle to show his presence coming out of the Holy of Holies? What did he do by night? A pillar of fire to do what? Give heat. So he gave them heat at night and protected them by the cloud during the day. And God says, whenever you see that cloud move, that's when I want you to pack up everything and you move and you follow that cloud of by day or that fire by night. And God says, and sometimes God would, they moved several times. In 40 years in the wilderness, they would sometimes stay there a month, sometimes they'd stay there a year. It just all depends. God says, when I move is when I want that whole system to move. That whole system to move. So I told you last week, what's one of the first things? God says, I want to dwell among you, but it has to be on my terms. There's one gate. That's Jesus. There's one gate. Amen. All religions do not matter. Culture does not matter to God. Keep in mind, the children of Israel, I told you last week, just came out of Egypt. God didn't give them anything that was like in Egypt at all. Well, I know what you've been dealing with for the past 400 years since you've been slaves there. Here I made something similar. God said, this, everything about this tabernacle was made according to the pattern that was in heaven. God says, for me to dwell among you, I has to be on my conditions, not yours. God is not culturally sensitive. Amen? Mm-hmm. culture makes no difference. Well, you know, we're from this part of the world. It makes no difference. God says, you make it the way I told you and the way I showed you. Then, I told you, what's one of the first things, and this is worth hitting again, what's one of the first things you notice when you see the layout of the whole tabernacle? God wants to be in the middle of your life. And I don't want God to be where I am. God wants me to be where He is. There's a difference in thinking. Humanistically, when I'm God, then I do something and I say, now God bless me here. This is what I want to do. Now I want to move over here. Now you bless me. That's humanism. That's me making God my genie. But God says, I want to dwell with you and I want you with me. So God says, when I move, then you follow. Then you follow. And if you want my blessings, then you seek my presence. That's a different way of thinking now. It's a different way of thinking in this day and age where you make yourself, you know, humanism is the religion of America now. You know, what's humanism? That's where I deify myself. If it's wrong, if I think it's wrong. If it's right, if I think it's right. If it offends me, then it's offensive. But if it's not offensive, then it's okay. It's everything circles around me. Everything is self-related. And that's what we're watching happen in America. As America gets further away from God, they deify themselves, right? Right? That's how come you got political correctness nowadays when it didn't used to matter and all that stuff. So here's the layout of the temple. You got the courtyard, then you have the sanctuary, then you have the ark. God says, I want my people to dwell with me. So this is the conditions, and notice when you come in, quick review, when you came in the gate, the first thing you saw was an altar. 7.5 feet by 7.5 feet by 7.5 feet by 7.5 feet by 4.5 feet tall, horns on the altar, and this is where sacrifice happens. So God says, for you to get to my presence, you have to meet, the first thing you have to understand is my plan for you to come into my presence is your sin has to be taken care of. And that only happens one way, by the death of the innocent. The innocent has to be slain to pay for the sins of the guilty. That's been God's plan of salvation all through eternity, all through time. Okay? So God says the first thing you see when you come into this tabernacle is the sacrifice, the place of sacrifice, the altar where the animals are slain and then put on the fire and they're sacrificed to God. Then you see the altar. But you're still not in God's presence. Excuse me. Then you see the laver. You're still not in God's presence until you go into the sanctuary and you pass through the door. And then, of course, we covered the two rooms last week. And now this week, what we're going to cover is, now that I'm trying to give you a quick overview, now go to Exodus 26. Exodus 25, verse 8 is very important. It tells, this is why I want a tabernacle. Because God says, I want you to dwell with me on my conditions. Now, when we read Exodus 26, we're going to read about the coverings. Are you ready? You got to understand a little bit of the terminology here, okay? Over the tabernacle itself, there are four what you would call coverings. The first two are called the tabernacle. We'll look at that here in just a second. But there was a linen. Then there was a layer of goat's hair. It was woven goat's hair, which was very thick, breadth of a man's hand. That's a thick blanket. And you say, then you had ram skins dyed red on top of that, and then badger skins. These two were called the tent. These two were called the tabernacle. These two were curtains. And then you had the coverings. Well, just think about it just for a second. It was 15 feet wide, 15 feet tall, and the first room was 30 feet. Then you had the veil. Then you had 15 by 15 by 15 feet. Okay, y'all know in the big houses, like when you toured Thomas Jefferson's house up there at... you ever notice in the old mansions how tall the roofs are, how tall the ceilings are? They're at least 10-foot ceilings. Some of them went a little higher than that, but now we have in our houses what? eight foot's pretty standard. Well, before air conditioning, you had to have a place for the heat to go. So, and then they always, they built houses a lot different. You know, there was always a breezeway for the wind to blow. So you didn't bake. You're in the desert here. And this ceiling is 15, this is 10 feet tall. Go up 5 feet past that. Then what you're going to see is this linen covering, and I'll describe that to you here in just a second. And then you had the thick goat's hair, then the ram skins, a type of leather dyed red, and then you had the badger skins, another leather, okay, which was brown. Four layers. I think part of that was God's plan for insulation, if you will. So you didn't bake to death. The priests had to serve in here. You know what I mean? They had to keep the table of showbread and keep the candle lit and the incense on the altar. They had to serve in there. I mean, you couldn't. When you hear one of the men in our church, I asked him, I said, how hot is it in the plant where you work? He said, there's some rooms that are 130 degrees. That's hot. I mean, you go in there, that's a crash weight loss program. You know what I mean? That's a Insta-sauna. Well, if it's 140 degrees over there where this is set up, can you imagine when the priest would go in? I don't think it was no 140 degrees. I think God designed the tabernacle to where it was perfectly set up. Obviously, this is God's building. So let's look at what we're looking at this morning is the coverings, the coverings and the curtains of the actual tabernacle. We know that it had the curtain that centered around it, but we're looking at the coverings of the tabernacle. Look at Exodus chapter 26 and look at verse 1. Let's read this together and then I'll try to describe it to you. And the Lord spake unto Moses, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen, and blue and purple and scarlet, with cherubims of cunning work shalt thou make them. Now, let's stop here just for a second. These colors you see over and over again. Blue is always the color of heaven and authority. Purple is royalty. And scarlet is always the color of redemption, dealing with blood. These three colors are found, I know I've said this to you before, it's 24 times in your Bible. It says blue and purple and scarlet. And it's always in that order. Always in that order. So when you walked in, God said the first, I want 10, they're called curtains and they were sewn together, okay? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Then we're going to read about blue loops, okay, that are put here and here, and tatchets of gold, which are half, well, they're more like 7/8 circles with an opening, and they're made of gold. You would hook them in the loops, okay, and then it would hold everything together, okay, gold being a picture of what? Deity. And then 5 over here, 5 all sewn together. And the first layer was blue, the first curtain was blue, purple, scarlet, and then it started over again. Blue, purple, then the tatchets, then blue, purple, scarlet, blue, purple. Then inside this, woven in it, when we put something on a shirt, we think of like an iron-on transfer, or we think of sewing something, putting a decal on. God said, I want, when you walk into the tabernacle, God says, what you're going to see over you is this fine twined linen and cherubim, winged angels, okay, woven into the fine linen. Because cherubim represents the presence of God. So this is all, to do all this, if you think of just think of making a common piece of cloth, you know, you got the piece of string running this way, they pass it through and then they keep passing it and packing it. Can you imagine I don't know what it looked like, but it says putting the cherubim in there. So now you're going to do that? It's all woven. It was amazing how this was made. And God says, it plainly says, He gave them wisdom how to do this. And we'll look at more of that. So you got verse number 1 there. Look at verse 2. The length of one curtain shall be 8 and 20 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits, and every one of the curtains shall have one measure. So they all need to be the same measurement. So the linen was 28 cubits by 4 cubits wide, each one of them. They were all the same measurement, 28 by 4, 10 curtains. All right, put together. Let's keep on going. The 5 curtains shall be coupled together, one to the other, one to another. And other 5 curtains shall be coupled one to another. It just says coupled. You say, well, how was it done? Keep in mind, Moses was the foreman of the whole project. He's the only one that saw the tabernacle. So Moses oversaw it, and he said, do it this way. Most believe that they were sewn together. It just says couple each one of these 28 cubits by 4 cubits, couple them together. You'll have 5 and 5. Most believe they were sewn. There's a lot of things that aren't in the description of the tabernacle. Look at verse 4. And thou shalt make loops of blue upon the edge of the one curtain from the selfage and the coupling. And likewise shalt thou make in the uttermost edge of another curtain in the coupling of the second. So here, God says, in this linen, right along the middle, there were going to be blue loops to couple these together. I'm trying to show you this because when you read it, sometimes it helps when you see the pictures. You know what I mean? As far as this, watch this, verse 5. 50 loops shalt thou make in the one curtain, and 50 loops shalt thou make in the edge of the curtain that is in the coupling of the second, that the loops may take hold one of another. And thou shalt make 50 tatches of gold, and couple the curtains together with the tatches, and it shall be one. Notice the word tabernacle. The first 2 curtains coupled together is why we call it the tabernacle. All right. When these are put together, these are called coverings, and these are called the tent. All right. The outer edge of it. Let's keep on going. Ready? Look at verse number 7. And thou shalt make curtains of goat's hair to be a covering upon the tabernacle. 11 curtains shalt thou make. I read one that said white goat's hair. Okay, here's what you have to understand. When you read your Bible, the world does not revolve around America, all right, and the West. It is a what they call an Oriental. That's why the poetry is Oriental. That's why the customs are Oriental. Or what? Chinese? No, Oriental means Eastern. And goats are black-haired in the East. White hair goats are in the West. As a matter of fact, they're so rare. White hair goats are so rare over in the Middle West, in the East. They're known. It's a rarity. All right. It's black goat's hair. All right. So ready? Watch this. With goat's hair, the length of one curtain shall be 30 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits, and the 11 curtains shall be all of one measure. So these are 11. The linen is 10. The goat's hair is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 with black loops in the middle. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So it's 11. One thing you start understanding, everything in your Bible is there for a reason. It's God's Word. God didn't write His Word like we write term papers. You know what I mean? Like, oh my goodness, I got to have 12 pages and I only came up with 10. So I need to write bigger and come up with some more filler. You know what I mean? Like I said before in previous statement, you know what I mean? God doesn't do that. Everything in your Bible, every word is perfect and pure if you have a King James Bible. And the numbers are there. For instance, now we're getting ready to go into the goat hair. Watch this. In just the linen curtain, 28 cubits by 4 cubits wide, 28 in the Bible is the number of eternal life. Okay? 5 and 5. 5 is the number of grace. All through the Bible. It's beautiful. 10, putting them together, 10. 10 is the number of law and responsibility. I can't go into each one of these this morning, but for instance, how many commandments did God give Moses? 10. 10. When you read Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39. God says, okay, can we go there real quick? This might be worth going to, but just we'll come back to Exodus 26. Go to the New Testament there to Romans. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him, through Jesus that loved us. Romans 8:38. For I am persuaded, then I'm just going to count them here. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. The law of God's love says He lists 10 things that can never separate you from His love once you're saved. 10 is the number. That's just one illustration. It's all through your Bible. It's Old and New Testament. 10 is the number of law and responsibility. So God says, all of this, everything in the tabernacle, when you walked in, you slid the first door and the priest would come in and you had the five pillars there. The walls were 15 feet tall, covered in gold with a silver foundation. 15 feet over that way, walls, boards covered in solid gold, going up 15 feet. And on the top, you saw the covers, and God says, 10 curtains coupled together at 5. And God says, everything means something. Everything. God said, I didn't put it in there because I make the tatchets of gold. No, God says it all means something. It all means something. So just the linen that you would see with the cherubims in it, God's presence under His wings, okay, in the sanctuary. Then on top of that, God says, I want 11 curtains, and these are 30 feet long. 30 cubits, I'm sorry. I've said that 3 times now. 30 cubits. What's a cubit? 18 inches. So these are 30 by 4. What's 30 the number for in your Bible? The blood of Christ. What was Jesus sold for? 30 pieces of silver. That's all three. That's Old and New Testament. The number 30, it is a representation. So God says, by 4, 5 is the number of grace. These are 5 curtains coupled together. These are 6. 6 is the number of the weakness of man. 6 is the number of man. God created man on what day? The 6th day. 7 is God's number of perfection. Man always comes short because we're sinners, right? We're short of God's perfection. So 6 is the symbol all through Old and New Testament. 6 is the number of the weakness of man. All right? And there's a lot more on that. Like I said, I'm not going into numerology this morning as much as I'm just trying to let you know when we read the Bible, we're going like, because we weren't there. It's not boring. It just may be some things that you don't know, right? Always give God the benefit of the doubt. No, we're not from a Jewish culture, but my goodness, that book you've got right there is so rich. We don't read, I've told you this before, we don't read other books like we read the Bible. You're not supposed to. When we read Black Beauty, you know what I mean? Do you have to read Black Beauty when you're growing up? Okay, I did. All right. Or Shakespeare. When you read Black Beauty, you don't go, ooh, what's that word mean? You read the stupid paragraph and you tried to conceive what was going on. You followed the story, but you didn't take each word and study it. We only do that with God's word, because it's God's word. It's eternal. It's eternal. It's not a novel. It's an eternal book. So we study it differently. And the things that you get out of it, you can always tell when you're right, as long as there's no contradictions. Amen. Shouldn't be any contradictions in what you're coming up with. Then, all these added together, okay, 5, this is the second curtain, 5 and 6 is going to add up to 11, and 11 is the number of what? Judgment and disorder. First time you're going to come across number 11 in your Bible is going to be, how many plagues did God give Egypt to let the Israelites go? 10, right? But the one that we always miss is then the Egyptian army followed them to the Red Sea and God decimated The whole Egyptian army, they followed Moses as they crossed the Red Sea. Right when they got the middle, God caved it in. And Pharaoh's army. That's 11. 11 judgments. And Egypt never recovered from that. They never recovered from that. 11 is the number of judgment and disorder all through your Bible. Okay? All through your Bible. God says, when you walked into the tabernacle, God says, I want you fine twined linen, which is a picture of righteousness. In 1 John 2:1, the Bible calls the Lord Jesus our righteousness. There's nothing good about me. I'm a sinner. He's perfect. He's the only one who never sinned. He is my... The only reason I'm going to heaven is not because I'm such a wonderful person. It's because He's wonderful. Do you understand? So when you walked into the tabernacle, you're reminded of all of this. Grace. Eternal life. The presence of God. Righteousness. The linen. Then on top of that was what? The black goat's hair. It's a picture of the sin offering. Jesus is our scapegoat. One of the offerings of the tabernacle. It's all a picture of Jesus. On top of that, Jesus did what? He took our judgment and our weakness, and He was sacrificed in our place. Right? So now you've got the two curtains. Let's keep on reading about the goat's hair. Okay? Now let's keep on reading about the goat's hair. Look at verse... Go back to Exodus 26. Okay. Ready? Here we go. Look at verse number 9. Exodus 26. And thou shalt couple 5 curtains by themselves and 6 curtains by themselves. And shalt double the 6th curtain in the forefront of the tabernacle. And thou shalt make 50 loops on the edge of the one curtain that is outmost in the coupling, and 50 loops in the edge of the curtain which coupleth the second. Okay? And thou shalt make 50 tatchets, that's those 7/8 circles I told you about, of gold, and put the tatchets into the loops, and couple the tent together, that it may be one. And the remnant that remaineth of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that remaineth, shall hang over the backside of the tabernacle. These were 11, right? These were 10. This was 28 feet. And God says the back end of it's going to hang over the back end of the tabernacle a little bit. And God says, tie the linen down so that it goes this way. Then the goat's hair is going to come a cubit on either side and tighten it down. It had to endure the winds, right? Big winds in the desert. Storms. Had to be held tight. Then on top of that, we'll get into the ram skins dyed red here, but we don't read about that until, watch this. Look at verse 13. And a cubit on the one side, and a cubit on the other side of that which remaineth in the length of the curtains of the tent. It shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle on this side and on that side to cover it. Remember how I told you? It's going to be each covering was a cubit longer. Okay? It came over more. And it didn't come over the tabernacle going up 15 feet and then come straight down the walls. It was at an angle. Okay? And God says, I want it all. Notice this. Verse 14. And thou shalt make a covering for the tent of ram skins dyed red, and a covering above of badger skins. Isn't that funny? God gives 13 verses on the first two. And these are done in one verse, verse 14. Because He just gave the dimensions of it. Now, I want to wrap it up this way. When you saw the tabernacle from a distance, what was on top was badger skins. And remember, badger is in reference to what? The color. They didn't have badgers over there. Porpoise. It was porpoise skins. They made their shoes out of badger skins or out of porpoise leather. Okay? Their shoes lasted a long time. Badger was brown. And when you baked it in the sun, it almost turned a light gray or a black. Can you imagine? Just think about this just for a second. When you saw this tabernacle from a distance, you had no idea the glory that was on the inside of it. That's why the world doesn't see any value of being a Christian. Because God, in Exodus 26, when God labels it, see, here's how we do things. We do things from the outside in. But God describes the tabernacle coverings from the inside out. And that's how God works. We work from the outside in. Well, if I clean up my life, and if I do this, and if I do this, then surely God says, you have to fix what you are first. You're a sinner that needs to get born again. And God says, I work from the inside out. I don't work from the outside in. And that's all through your Bible. That's a beautiful story. That's why you got to get saved. Amen? That's why getting saved is so important. Then, notice this, what I want to draw your attention to was looking at the tabernacle from a distance, you'd have no idea of God's presence and the gold and the silver and the glory that was in it the moment you stepped in from knowing that from the outside. To the world, becoming a Christian's a joke. So what are you gaining? God going to make you rich? What does God give you? Anything tangible? New car? No. He gives eternal life. Peace. Righteousness. Things you can't see. To the world, that's common. Can you take your Bible? Can we close this with going to Isaiah 53? Isaiah 53. Right in the middle of your Bible after Psalms, go in the prophets there. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 is one of the most famous chapters in your Bible describing the Lord Jesus. And because nobody knows what he looks like, okay? It's sad, but a lot of the artist renditions come from the Renaissance and the 1500s, 1600s. Some of them were gay, but that's why Jesus has long hair. No, Jesus did not have long hair. Nobody knows what he looks like. And he definitely wasn't the Hollywood face guy. You know what I mean? High cheekbones, you know, tender blue eyes, you know, all that stuff. That's Hollywood. Look what God says he looked like. Isaiah chapter 53, look at verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For Jesus, shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. If Jesus was here in the physical likeness that he was here on the earth for 33 and a half years, if he was here in that body and he walked into the room, he looked common. You wouldn't say, oh, that's Jesus. Now, I don't think he was, you know, I don't go the opposite with that either. I don't think he was, you know, you know, I don't think he did that either. But the Bible plainly says when he walked into a crowd, he looked common. There was no comeliness or beauty that you would desire him. But what made him who he was? He was God in the flesh. He was God's perfection. He was the righteousness of God. Same thing with the tabernacle. From the outside, looked like a worthless building. A stupid tent. And you could not imagine what was on the inside. The presence of God. The glory of God. The picture of God. And this tabernacle, this is just the coverings. This is just all of them picture the Lord Jesus. Ram skins dyed red. Picture is suffering and death. If Jesus had been strangled, it wouldn't have paid for sin. If somebody would have poisoned him, it wouldn't have paid for sin. Death doesn't pay for sin. Blood pays for sin. It atones for the soul. Jesus had to die a bloody death. He was tortured to death. That's the ram skins dyed red. And then what does the outside covering picture? That's the humanity of Christ, and we just covered that, right? How Jesus was common. There was no beauty that you'd desire him. I'm so glad I'm a Christian. I'm so glad I'm saved. And this idea of, as you study your Bible, God works from the inside out. God, man works from the outside in. Well, it's all about image and how I look. And God says what you are on the inside has to be changed. That is salvation. And that's why we got to get born again.